The following is a recent appearance of Dan Perkins on Catherine Raker's live radio show.
Welcome to Catherine Raker's World. Innovation. Culture. Adventure. Fashion and health. Artists. Destinations, traditions. This is Catherine Raker's World.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Catherine Raker's World. And I cannot believe that Republican Party can't find somebody besides who they
Curtis.
Running against Mondavi and the former governor.
Right.
So if it lands, like I think a lot of people in that are not understanding what Mondavi's all about. First of all, he's never had a job. That's scary as a business person, and he wants to run one of the biggest cities, most famous cities in the country. And what would it look like if he wins? That's the subject, Dan.
Right. Let me start off by suggesting an outcome that is not being talked about.
Okay.
He won the nomination of the Democratic Party
for
mayor because of the weather.
The day they had
the primary in New York, it was over 100 degrees in New York City and almost 120 degrees in the subways. So a lot of people were warned because of the temperature and the humidity, especially the elderly, don't go out. So they didn't vote. But he won enough of the votes cast that didn't even need a runoff. He got the nomination. Now, what's going on is part of what I'm looking at as how the outcome might be. I think that the Jewish vote and the non-Muslim vote won't be large enough for the rest of New Yorkers who see what's going on and may in fact vote against him. And my likelihood is that it will not be Republican. It will be Cuomo, who could wind up being the mayor of the city of New York. Now there are people that I've talked to about that think I'm crazy because they think he's a shoo-in. But you got to understand that, for example, Jamie Dimon, the chairman of Chase Manhattan Bank, he said they have a bigger operation in Texas than they have in New York. And it would be easy for them to move their entire operation out of New York to Texas and North and South Carolina and Florida and not even have a presence in New York, or whatever presence would be token. The New York Stock Exchange already has a remote facility in Jersey City, so that if they wanted to, in fact, remember when we had problems during the pandemic and other times when the markets have been closed, like 9/11, they were successfully able to operate out of the city of New York when 9/11 took place by operating out of Jersey City. They've since then moved also operations in North and South Carolina. So it's possible that all the stock exchanges could very quickly throw a switch and move their entire operation out of New York City. Those two decisions alone, and there would be other banks who would join Dimon in leaving New York, will cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of really good paying jobs, high tax paying people to leave the state. My guess is that the bankers and the investment people will offer people a relocation program to move to wherever it is, Texas or North or South Carolina, South Carolina. But there also could be a significant movement of just regular citizens, people who are retired, will sell their houses and move out. So that fear of that kind of reprisal by the voters may cause a different outcome when the whole electorate has an opportunity, because it'll be much cooler on November the 4th. than it was in July. So I think there's a possibility that the shoe-in they keep talking about him being in may not be that strong, in that when the Jewish people have had a chance to listen to him and what he's talking about it about anti-Semitism and other factors, and of the non-Muslim community sees what's going on, it's possible that Mario Cuomo could wind up being the governor, the former governor, the mayor of New York, because the New York people have rejected the economic cost they would have to pay to elect Mondavi as president, as mayor of the city of New York.
Well, one of the things that I just read was that, and I don't know if you saw it, there was a thing that he accepted donations or something from someone that, I don't know, did you see that?
Yes, ma'am. It was more than one someone. It was several someones and several organizations, which under New York law was not permitted. But in essence, he was what by his refusal to answer the question is, I don't care what you say, I'm taking the money. He took the money. He's not going to return it. So his arrogance is there, and I think that it's, I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm thinking about it as a possibility, is that there could be a voter reaction. Now the question becomes, will New Yorkers and the people in the political situations in New York City, will they manipulate the outcome of the election to make sure that he wins by manipulating the vote?
Well, let me ask you this question. Are they, do you think they will come out and vote? And especially Jewish, I mean, the Jewish, huge community of Jewish people in New York City.
It is the largest concentration of Jewish people in the world behind Tel Aviv.
Right. And what he said in the past about that, don't you think that would make them angry?
Well, that's a really good question, and I'm reminded whenever I hear that question, I'm re reminded of our departed friend Mr. Rush Limbaugh, when asked how is it possible that Jewish people could vote for programs that are clearly against the Jewish people. And he said, because Jewish people are liberal Democrats first, Jewish second.
That's true.
So they'll support the Democratic Party at the expense of themselves, their religious beliefs, and their people,
Isn't
because
that
they're
what Chuck Schumer is? Isn't he Jewish?
Jewish. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's he doing right now to the country?
Yes.
Thinks he's winning. I think he's losing
Yes.
because people are getting very upset with him for doing some really radical things to get reelected. Why would you want to re-elect Chuck Schumer?
But he's doing it, Catherine. There was a story that I saw yesterday, and I'll do my best to paraphrase it. That Chuck Schumer is going to Democrats in the Senate and suggesting that they change their vote to approve the continuing resolution to open up the government. And he will criticize them when they do it, but be assured, when the rubber hits the road, we'll support you for your reelection. So he's doing this because he looks over his shoulder, and what he sees is the potential. And this is very important, the potential of AOC running against him for the Democratic nomination for the Senate next year. Now, if she does that, then she has to take on the entire state, not just her little district, but she has to run in the entire state. And Schumer's been the majority of the minority leader of the Senate for many, many years, has a long-standing relationship and a political campaign system that's very strong. And I think that AOC may be bluffing, but Chuck Schumer doesn't want to take the chance. So he's trying to make as much waves, to get as much headlines, as much airtime as he possibly can, showing that he's trying to help the people of America. and he's joined the crowd that wants to use expletives to reinforce what he has to say.
People don't like it either. They
I
don't.
think it's
Horrible.
absolutely yes.
On that note, we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Dan Perkins, who's an author, commentator, and expert on our show. And we'll be right back on Let's Just Talk and Katherine Raker's World. We'll be right back.
Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com.
It's Dan Perkins, and he's a commentator. He's so many things rolled into one. It's another paragraph in itself.
Yes.
Anyhow, we came back to talk about New York and
Right.
what's happening in New York with will the voters come out? That's what I want to know. Will they
Right.
come out and fight for New York City? Because I'll tell you what, I won't go back to New York City if it turns Mondavi's way. There's no way. It'll become a desert. That's my prediction.
Well, okay. I think it could become the Wild Wild West. I
Yes,
think
true.
I think with little law and order, and the drug cartels and the bad guys are going to get control of the city very quickly. He doesn't want to take he was doesn't want the police any way, shape, or form. He believes that social workers would be better than police officers. And he wants to make the subways free. He wants to have grocery stores that are free. He wants college education to be free. And he talks about, when asked, how do you expect to pay for this? He wants to increase income taxes on the rich.
There won't be any rich there.
The famous Democratic play, the rich people need to pay their fair share. Their fair share. But nobody seems to know in the Democratic Party what the fair share is.
Right.
But the point is that I wonder how much of what he says he can possibly accomplish. Because the one,
zero.
What? Zero. Okay. Because there's not a Democrat in the White House who will give them whatever money they need. And as a result, if Trump decides he's not going to provide these programs to New York City, things are going to get even worse, Catherine. Worse. I can't imagine that the current mayor of Chicago, who has less than a 5% approval rating, has any chance of ever winning another election in Chicago. What they don't seem to understand when they say, I mean, we have the court, for example, federal district court said in Illinois, when the state and city of in Illinois sued the Trump administration on the ability to bring National Guard troops into the state and work in Chicago. Now, this judge, who was a Biden appointee, said the following: under the Constitution, the president has the right to nationalize the National Guard into federal service. Number two, the president has the right to deploy those soldiers to the state of Illinois. Number three, he does not have the right to deploy them inside of the city of Chicago. Now, why would a judge say, it's okay, it's legal to nationalize him, it's legal to bring him in the state, but you can't put him in the city of Chicago? And so the courts are continuing to adjust every time the Supreme Court shuts down a district court judge in their opinion that is anti-Trump. The Supreme Court, by and large, and he has about a 90% win record, the Supreme Court is basically sometimes unanimously, sometimes along party lines, 6-3, are taking away many of these suits that are being filed. But Catherine, there's only so many they can file because they're running out of issues. And every time Trump gets an issue decided at the Supreme Court level, that's a weapon taken away from the Democrats. So, as you pointed out earlier, so rightly so, that the Democrats are going to have to come back to the table because Trump is not going to give them $1.5 billion for health care for illegals. If he did that, the Democratic Party would just run all over it, and Mr. Trump credibility would fall apart and question what could happen at the midterms.
That's for sure. And I'll tell you what, we have never had such a good president. I mean, he must only sleep about 3 or 4 hours a night, if that.
I want his frequent flyer miles.
What?
I want his frequent flyer miles.
Oh, yeah, I would too. But I'll tell you what, on the world stage, they love him. And there's nothing that the Democratic Party can do to try to hurt his,
Thatcher.
yes, they can't. And they're trying, so the way they're acting is like children to me.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I want him to
He
get a life, go somewhere else, do something else, but don't run for office ever again. And I believe in my heart of hearts that term limits will come into play. Okay, so how many people do we have in the Congress that are in their 90s?
It's amazing. And
Scary.
I think we saw what Joe Biden. I mean, Catherine, if he had been reelected,
Oh, gosh.
how much of the problems, the physical problems, and the mental problems that he's displaying now, if he was reelected president, would we see them? Would they continue to be hidden? And who would be in charge? The idea that Blinken and Biden took credit for the foundation for the Israeli Hamas peace
That was the
accord.
biggest joke ever.
Right.
I mean, nobody believed it. I don't know what world they're living in. I mean, let's face it, they're finally admitting. Oh, and how about those senators that they were spying on their
Yes.
phone records and everything?
Right. But it's interesting as we progress. I mean, I did a sh I have a show on Wednesdays, and the co-host said, I can't believe he's only been in president for 10 months.
Right.
And what he's accomplished in 10 months has just been unbelievable.
Right.
Eight wars have been settled, just that alone. So he has tremendous energy, and he's committed to doing what he thinks is right for America and for the American people. So far, I think what he's been doing has been pretty well on par. I think that we've got, I don't know how much time we have,
Give
but
about 5 minutes.
okay. So, one of the things that's going to happen in New York is that in addition to increasing real estate taxes and income taxes, you're going to see things like gasoline taxes are going to increase, and you're going to see all kinds of fees and for license plate. They're just going to be an avalanche of things that New Yorkers are going to be asked to pay very substantial increases, and it's going to affect their spendable income. And yes, I believe a number of people will be leaving the city who are not political but just citizens. There'll be retirees that are going to finally give up the ghost and leave. And there will be businesses, of which we talked about, the major banks in Wall Street. I'm not sure, Catherine, if you get entrenched in Texas or Florida as a business and you can operate successfully from not being in New York any longer, then New York no longer becomes the financial capital of the world. And as more and more people and more businesses leave New York, the value of properties are going to decline. And what Mondavi has already told us,
He wants to take away those apartments and houses from people so that he
right.
gives them to I don't know who.
He's going to take them away and make it for low-income housing or shelters for illegals or the homeless. And the idea that the government's going to come in and take your house
That's right.
or condo and you have nothing to say about it, people will anticipate that happening, especially if he's elected. See, that'll be the turning point, Catherine, is when, if he's elected, you will see, I believe, a massive wave of people who are going to start talking about leaving. And what's going to happen to Broadway, one of my favorite places of all time to visit when we lived in New York for 35 years. Is it going to be able to survive? I don't know. Hotels are going to go empty. They're going to close. Buildings are going to be empty. They're going to close. And we're in a situation where the economic impact to the people of New York is going to be tremendous. And for those of the people who are not strategic thinkers, meaning thinking about what can happen longer term, and the reality of what's going to happen, they will be praying for Mr. Trump to intervene because Trump will probably stop sending money to New York for various government programs in New York because the number of people are going to decline. And they're going to wind up losing because of the exodus of people leaving the state of New York. They're going to transfer seats in the House to other states because the number of people in New York will not be enough to support the current number of seats in the House of Representatives. Well,
But
we've got the speaker, the former Speaker of the House, now the minority leader in the House, and the former majority leader in the Senate, now the minority leader in the Senate, are both from New York City.
that's right.
And neither one of them has endorsed Mondavi for mayor yet.
Well, we'll see what happens in the very near future. And
Yes,
that's a
ma'am.
couple of weeks or whatever. It's going
Right.
to make a difference. So get out and vote, people, if you want to keep New York City and you want
Yes.
to keep the state of New York. And thank you so much for joining me. Please give your website out, please.
Yes, Songs and Stories for Soldiers is the nonprofit that deals with veterans with traumatic brain injury, PTSD, sleep deprivation, and suicide. And that's Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us is the website. My personal website is danperkins.guru, which has all kinds of stuff on it about what I'm doing. Then I have Dan Perkins Media, which it shows both media, both television and radio. I'm on AM/FM 24/7 for radio, and then I've got the whole list of every podcast broadcast you can get on. I'm on.
Right. And don't forget to go to our website. Our major website is KatherineRakersWorld.com, which has Let's Just Talk and The Chef You and I and Katherine Raker's World. And thank you so much for joining me today on Katherine Raker's World and Let's Just Talk.
That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who is dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin.
Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your...
Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com. Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening to the show today. The following is Dan Perkins' appearance on Ken Lovejoy's Charlotte County Speaks radio show in Southwest Florida.
Yep. Today in tech history.
November 10th, 2001. Apple ships the first iPod, the device that changed the course of both music and technology industries.
Update today, November 10th. Many people trash their old iPods, not realizing they could still be used as an external hard drive, mini storage for music, photos, and files. Or they were just embarrassed to be seen with old technology. This has been Today in Tech History.
Simplify.
What are we celebrating?
What are we celebrating?
Celebrating the Marine Corps' birthday.
The Marine Corps' birthday.
Semperfi. Semperfi, baby.
Because Marines are not allowed to die without permission.
Happy birthday, United States Marine Corps.
Today, you are Marines.
Hoorah. Showtime.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is Charlotte County Speaks, your chance to let your voice be heard on local, state, and national issues. And now, broadcasting live from a dumpy little warehouse behind a Taco Bell, the host of Charlotte County Speaks, Ken Lovejoy.
Thank you, Johnny. News Radio 1580, 100.9 FM, WCCFradio.com, and on your iHeartRadio app, Charlotte County Speaks, 10:12 on a Monday, and on the phone we have Mr. Dan Perkins. Dan, how are you? What's going on, Dan?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm fine.
All right.
Had a busy weekend.
Yeah.
A busy weekend watching my cell phone and what was happening in Washington, and I just think it was amazing. It's the Democrats imploding upon themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the eight Democratic senators who came over to the
Durbin.
Republican side.
Durbin. Dick.
None of them talked about Obamacare. They came over to the other side because they got concessions that people weren't going to get fired. People were going to get their back pay. And those were the important things to the people. And they wanted to get the airplanes flying and the airspace safe again.
Yeah.
They didn't deal with Obamacare. They didn't even talk about it.
No.
And so the idea that we were going to spend, you know, $500 billion on public radio and television, they didn't buy that. They weren't supporting that. They didn't want to deal with Obamacare. And so you've got a real now split in the Democratic Party. And again, I look at it and say, you know, the idea that they've been saying, oh, we're going to win the midterms. I find it if you can't get united. But then I did a piece over the weekend that, and I do want to talk about the vote, but I do want to talk about a side issue. When you look at what's going on, we have a small number of people on the Democratic Party side who are have, at least at the moment, have control of the Democratic Party. And that's AOC and Bernie and a couple other people. But and the constant message is we've got to get a message and we have to have a focused leader. Now, I'm gonna play with your brain here a little bit to follow where I'm coming from. But okay. But I think as I unfold it, it'll make more sense to you.
All right.
We have a situation that last Tuesday in these off-year elections for governor and the reparation or the redistricting issue in California, we had Democratic victories. But on the surface, nobody was really surprised that the Democrat mayor won because he'd been leading by 30 points all along in New York. And New Jersey and Virginia, the both Democrats were in the lead most of the time. I don't think the Republicans ever had the lead. And the ballot box stuffing by the Democrats in California is what gave them that proposition to change the Constitution. But Tuesday, I believe we have now figured out, the Democrats have now figured out who their party leader is and what their message is.
Okay. Who is it?
The party leader is not a person. The party leader, based on the fact that in the state of Virginia, the candidate for attorney general had emails saying that he would put, if he had to choose between three bad guys and he had two bullets, he'd put two bullets in his competitor, his brain, and he would kill his children.
Yes.
And urinate on their graves.
Mm-hmm.
And so murder is the new leader of the Democratic Party.
Oh,
not
yeah.
in an individual. It's murder. Murder
yeah.
is the we're going to turn into a party of killers and murderers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because it's perfect. Now, what's the message? James Carville on Wednesday said, I think I'm going to find me a convicted pedophile and run him for office.
Well, there was a city council member. I did two stories last hour. One was a guy who's not a citizen, but he won mayor of this Kansas town, and he's voted illegally in the last four elections. So they arrested him. And the other one was this Democrat. She just won a city council race. She was also a convicted murderer who did 10 years for really brutally murdering this dude. And she's also an addict who's in recovery. And she just got elected to the city council. So what's that tell you about the Democrat Party? I mean, seriously, you just got a bunch of thugs that we're going to have to deal with here pretty soon.
It's all right to kill people for your political purposes. That's the
okay.
message of Tuesday.
I don't think that's a message they want us to glom onto. I really don't.
And the idea that, as you said, convicted criminals got into mayor and city council, and we have a situation where James Carville, who may have gone past his prime, but still gathers quite a following, and especially in the left leaning media, is saying that he's going to run a convicted pedophile as a candidate for office. And where he didn't say what office is, but I think I know what it is. He's looking for a convicted pedophile that he can promote over the next 3 years for president.
Oh, probably. I mean, and that's been something I've been talking about for 18 years on this show, is the levels to which they're going to normalize pedophilia, to make it oh, it's just another preference.
Yeah, and so now moving to yesterday, we had the eight Democratic senators who came and basically were looking at their constituents, their people, their voters who were in government jobs that they were not working and not being paid, and looking at the FAA have to eventually potentially close down 10% of the flights in the 40 largest markets in the country. That was going to adversely affect, and is already adversely affecting, when they've only closed 4%, shut down 4% on Friday, so that it became a personnel issue as opposed to Obamacare. And when Schumer came back with a counter on Friday or Saturday, well, we'll open the government if you agree to pay the premiums on Obamacare for the next 12 months.
No.
And the Republicans said no. And God love them for standing up and saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to spend an extra $1.5 trillion on the programs that we took out of the budget resolution that you want to put back in. We're not going to do that. And I fully expected, as in the past, that the Republicans would be the ones who would capitulate, not the Democrats.
Yeah, because they usually do.
Right. But for some reason, they grew a pair and stayed. So God love them.
Well, now, they grew a pair so far. We don't know what the vote's going to be yet.
No, well, we know that there was even talk this morning that Rand Paul, who voted against the continuing resolution, is now considering supporting it.
Blah, blah.
And,
I'm so sick of him.
I brought him up just for you. but the point is that I think that the eight Republicans or eight Democrats who came to the Republican side have pretty much sealed the deal.
Yeah.
And they don't have the votes. They don't need the 60 vote margin in the House to pass this bill. So I suspect that if the modifications in the bill are reasonable enough, the Democrats will lose it in the House, and it'll happen. The question is, can you put the government back together? If all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, can the Republicans bring the government back together? And if so, how long will it take? And are we going to be on flight restrictions through Thanksgiving, which is going to be a tough one? And at the same time, are we going to pay people if they pass the funding mechanism? Are they going to be able to pay people what their back pay was and not fire the 15,000 that were furloughed?
Why can't we fire them?
I'm sorry?
Why can't we fire them?
Because it was one of the concessions that the Republicans made to the Democrats in order to get this thing done.
Oh, all right.
But that isn't well. But see, here's the question that nobody's talking about. This legislation is good to the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to go through this? Are we going to go through this again?
Of course, we are. I mean, come on. They have to maintain the drama. That, you know, that's why we've been doing this CR crap for what, since 08?
Yeah.
09, something like that. That's what, we haven't had an actual budget in years. And they just keep the drama going. That seems to be their job. They create
and it's always around the holiday time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think they're gonna handle the air traffic control. But I don't know. Again, the whole thing boggles my mind. I didn't notice the shutdown anyway.
Yeah. Well, I talked to a person yesterday who flew from Florida to Columbus, and she was flying out of Orlando, and she said she got to the airport 2 hours early. She said the lines were out the doors. Thousands and thousands of people were in the Orlando airport trying to figure out, because their flight had been canceled. And I called, because we're supposed to go to Washington, D.C. for Thanksgiving. And I called United last week, and I said, will we get some kind of a notification if you're going to cancel the flight? Yes, we have your email and your phone number. But I said, when would we know that you're canceling the flight? I can't tell you that because we don't know. So it may not be canceled at 4%, but at 10%, it may be canceled.
Yeah, it may be canceled as you're waiting at the gate. So you're just about to board.
After waiting for 4 or 5 hours in
exactly.
the airport for the rescheduled flight time.
It's always the way it goes, right?
It's we need this place someplace else. Plane, so we're not going to last flight today. So
I think you're going to be okay. We still got time here. They're getting this thing wrapped up. I think you're going to be okay for the week of Thanksgiving. This week and probably into the middle of next week is still going to be tight, but I think that by Thanksgiving you guys will be fine. That's Kenny's prediction.
Right. So let's move on to the other thing that happened over the weekend.
Okay. What was that?
It appears that Iraq is running out of water.
Well, can't they drill? There's got to be a bunch of reservoirs underneath there.
They can't get water. All they can drill is oil. They can't drill water. So what's happening is that there's been a historical drought in Iraq, and the people are running out of water. And the people are getting angry that they have no water to drink or wash their clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
And the government can't do anything about it.
Uh-oh.
It can't make water, can't make rain, and they can't drill for it because they can only know how to drill for oil. So what's happening is they're now saying that the shortage of water will have an adverse impact on their terrorist activities.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You mean we're not going to be able to blow up the bus because we don't have enough water?
Right.
Good. Right. That sounds good. We need more droughts in the Middle East, it sounds like.
You're right. Now, so what I'm interested in is why there was a certain message that wasn't, if there was an opportunity to send this message, which I'm about to tell you, nobody has yet.
Okay.
But I'm surprised that nobody on the left hasn't talked about, well, that's global warming.
There you go. That's it.
I suspect that if it gets worse, that we're going to start hearing that global warming is the issue, and we have to stop doing all these things.
How dare you? How dare you?
So we'll see what happens if they get enough rain to. But they're seriously concerned that the people are up in arms, as if the government could do anything about the lack of rain.
Yeah.
But the government's under a lot of pressure, and some people are saying if this doesn't stop soon, you could see the government overthrown.
Uh oh.
Which
would really affect.
I'd like to know who the replacements are going to be, see if they're as bad or worse or better. I don't know. But,
I can't even tell you who the president of Iraq is right now.
Well, you know, he was at the World Global Warming Conference.
I'm sure he was.
and talking about the problem of shortage of water in Iraq. But, you know, I don't think we're going to load tankers and full of
No.
water and send them off.
I'm telling you, there's got to be aquifers in those mountains, and I'm not believing that they can't access water. They just need to quit drilling for oil and start drilling for water.
Well, but the mountains are generally portions of the country which the government doesn't control.
Ah, well, there you go.
So they're going to have to go to war with their own people in order to be able to drill in the mountains to get water.
Well,
and I'm not so sure that the Ayatollahs are necessarily, I mean, they're not kind people, but I'm not sure that they would want to kill tens of thousands of their own people to try and get water.
No.
And sure as hell they do that, it rains. So, you know, it's a bad decision. It's a bad decision. So, now we have, what's going on in Congress. it appears that the Democratic Party now is under the control of AOC and Bernie. And AOC, you might have heard this last week when they were talking about the shutdown.
Yeah.
When they were talking about what they could do, AOC said, quote, come see me. I'll tell you what to do.
Oh. Oh.
So she's...
Oh.
She's, and Bernie's very... I use the way the headline, very, very, very angry with the Democrats who capitulated and went over to the Republicans.
You capitulated? You went over there? You voted with the enemy?
Right.
I can't believe
so,
how low the party has become when Bernie and AOC are the leaders. This is hilarious.
Right. Well, I do think that it's they're at least the most vocal. I don't know that.
Oh yeah, they don't say much, but they're very vocal.
So now that Schumer has capitulated to the Republicans, do you think that AOC will in fact try to primary him out?
Well, he didn't really capitulate. He was still a no vote, and he was still losing his crap and screaming about everybody who did capitulate. I think she's going to – I mean, she's got to keep going up that ladder. She doesn't want to stay – I mean, you know, or the people behind her don't want her just staying in Congress. They want her as a senator. So it wouldn't surprise me if she primaries against Schumer.
Well, the interesting thing was that looking at that potential situation was that if she's going to try and run against Schumer, I mean, I don't have any inside baseball on what I'm about to say. It's just my own inclination. I suspect that the heat that he's taking for capitulating again to the Republicans, that rather than running for re-election, he's going to retire.
Which changes the whole
situation between her and him. Her running against him, she's going to be running against somebody else who is not the current minority leader in the Senate.
Which bodes so better for her, though, wouldn't it? You would think it would bode better for her in that election.
I don't know. I really don't know, because she would be a firebrand against Schumer if he were to run and for re-election, and it would be about him versus her.
Yeah.
But if he's not there, all the rhetoric she was going to use against, in my opinion, against Schumer would be off the table, because there would be
True.
A different person who would be running, and that may cause her to question whether now is the time for her to
True.
Make the move in the Senate.
True. It depends on who decides to run against her. You know, it's going to have to be somebody.
Know.
It's going to have
that,
to be somebody with a name.
Bennick has decided she's going to run for governor, and a multi-billionaire is going to help fund her campaign. But the New York politics is going to be very difficult. And you know, we've got the new communist mayor. The stories over the weekend of Wall Street moving to Dallas, Texas, were a significant number of stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that many bankers are moving going to move the majority of their banking operations out of New York to Florida or North Carolina or Texas or wherever.
Yeah,
a more favorable situation.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, there was a story, you may have seen it last week, where this real estate broker in Miami said he had $100 million in signed contracts to purchase properties in the Miami area from
yeah.
people from New York.
Yeah, people moving. Hell, the governor just, you've got a lot of, well, you already have the New York City fire chief, who's Jewish, said, I'm out.
Right.
And you've also probably mm-hmm. got a bunch of... NYPD cops saying, why the hell do I want to stay in this sort of abusive relationship, you know, where you got a guy who's mayor who's, you know, screw the cops, defund them. So Governor DeSantis has offered them $5,000 recruitment bonuses to come down here.
And we're going to need it because our population is going to continue to swell.
Yep.
And real estate prices are going to start going the other way. In fact, they're already starting to turn a little bit. And we look like we hit the bottom a few months ago, and we're stabilizing and starting to move upwards. Condo market is still pretty well flooded with tens of thousands of units here in Fort Myers. I don't know about your area, but single family homes or condos seem to be beginning to move, and prices have stabilized and started to climb just a tad.
Hmm.
So I just can't imagine. I mean, I understand. I left New Jersey to come to Florida because I was tired of two things. I was tired of the cold weather and the snow and the outrageous taxes that I was paying that I don't have to pay when I come to Florida. But I really seriously question whether dyed-in-the-wool New Yorkers are going to give it up and move to Florida or go to South Carolina or Tennessee or wherever. They're going to leave the city.
I think they will. I think there's going to be a bunch who will leave the city, but they might just stay in New York. They might just move out of the city into, you know, northern New York State or whatnot. But, yeah, there's going to be people that will leave the city, and there's going to be the people that will put on the brave face and lie about how wonderful it is.
Yes. But if you move the New York Stock Exchange out of, and it now becomes the Dallas Stock Exchange, that's going to be a tremendous blow to the city of New York.
Sure. Because all that money's leaving. I mean, look at all the commercial space they're going to have available that they've already got available. And now it's going to be even more.
But the mayor wants to take that over and turn it into low-income housing.
Well, he's just using that as an excuse, as a talking point, because he knows it's available. He doesn't have the authority to just take it over. He's going to have to buy it, and he can't afford it.
Well, he's just going to increase the taxes to try and generate more cash flow to be able to pay for these things.
People move out. It's just, I don't know. I think he's committing career suicide and party suicide, too, because so many people in the Democrat Party are behind this guy. And it's just going to be, I think, instructive as well as hilarious to watch him fail in real time.
Yeah, and I think that if you start seeing police accelerate their retirement and leaving the city and they're not being replaced, crime's going to start creeping up. It's going to be more and more dangerous.
Yep.
And that's really a difficult thing.
Yeah,
so, that's
true.
Anyway, I'll be here next week, and I guess I'll be here the week of Thanksgiving too. So at least on Monday.
Yeah,
so,
I'll be here. I'll be here on those Mondays too. It's Dan Perkins, folks. Check out his website, danperkinsmedia.org, danperkinsmedia.org. Thanks, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Are you even listening to me?
I hate guys that just push buttons all day.
They have no chemistry at all.
This cycle of jerks has to end.
You seriously should run with this.
Is this saying anything?
Let's go ahead and tear a station. Let's go to the bit they haven't picked.
I don't understand a word you just said.
Your News Radio 1580 AM WCCF Punta Gorda and FM 100.9 W265 EA Punta Gorda.